Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran joining you from Northern Spain. Yes, once again, today you get to hear two reflections from my journey, days 2 and 3 of my Camino, of my actual days of hiking. And just going to warn you, not pretty. Not pretty, but hopefully a blessing. I'm sharing these things with you to be a blessing to you. That's the goal. And prayers continue to trickle in. People are going to mycatholicfaith.org and submitting prayer requests, and I'm getting them and I'm praying for them. So I go to Mass. I was at Mass again last night, and just thrilled to be able to be keeping you guys in prayer. Okay. God bless.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Hey, welcome back. I'm going to begin with a prayer before we get launched off into the day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, thank you and praise you for who you are and for all that you've done for us. And Lord, I ask that you would truly bless all of those who are listening. I ask, Lord, special blessings upon those who have submitted prayer requests to me that I'm carrying with me on the Camino. I ask, Jesus, that you would walk with them in nearness, in tenderness, and in power to, Lord, unbind them and set them free to receive the blessings that you have for their lives. And Lord, I ask also that you would bless each of my family members as I'm away from home and as they are in various places and stages in their own lives, especially Mary Grace driving across the country to Nashville. I ask for safety and blessings upon her as she travels. And I also have a special place that I'm praying for those parents who've sent off kids to college for the first time and have a tenderness in their own hearts over their kids that are away from home. Lord, just to be with them and take care of them. And Lord, as well, I ask blessings upon my day, that my travel would be uneventful and that it would glorify you in anything and everything that happens. I submit and surrender it all to you, Lord, and I thank you in advance for all that you will do. And I praise you for the gift of life and for the journey that you have each of us on. Thank you, Lord. Help us never to take for granted the gift of our Catholic faith. We make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so In this particular episode, I have two reflections on day 2 and day 3 from walking the Camino. Hey, it's great to be with you. I'm actually recording this inside a church. It's a very beautiful, peaceful presence of the Lord here. And I found a quiet corner where I could have a chance to talk with you on my journey on this Camino. I'm sharing with you some reflections from day 2 of my walk on the Camino Francés. And this was from Roncesvalles to Zubiri. And it was a long walk, a hard walk. And it repeated some of the same things that I had shared in the first day, that I spent the first few hours, two to three hours, praying for my family, principally the rosary, and just taking my time to peacefully pray the decades well. And I was definitely still feeling the exhaustion from the first day. And the second day, I was guided by, I was certainly helped by the presence of these three women that I ended up connecting up with. And I've mentioned them in an earlier reflection on the Camino, that a lot of people who walk the Camino are searching. And there's something about the idea of walking that has a like looking for something quality to it. And in fact, that's principally what I want to share with you today. I've got four different meanings of the term of the idea of walking on the way, walking on a pilgrimage. And the first one is focused on the word walking. And that happened because of one of the three women that I met on the second day. She was a woman in her 70s, and she is walking the Camino because she felt this call to walk. She just wanted to walk. She didn't necessarily have a destination in mind. She just valued the reality of walking. And I had, you know, thought of other meanings of pilgrimage, like our whole life is a pilgrimage. It has a beginning and an end. You know, we're headed someplace. And then there are different aspects of our lives that have a journey quality, that have a pilgrimage quality to them. But I hadn't heard before what she was saying. She's like, no. It didn't have any of those other meanings. I just wanted to get out and walk. And I found this really interesting. It kind of like opened up for me a whole new way of reflecting on the meaning and value of walking. Have you ever thought about that? Stop and think about, what does walking mean? What does it stand for? What is its purpose? And I've had a chance to be thinking about this over the past week, because again, I'm about a week out from when I'm actually did this second day of the Camino. And I do want to say this is a theme that I will share over the first 4 to 5 days of the Camino that I experienced at a deeply felt level, at an existential level, and that is respect the limits of your body. Just because you think you can do something doesn't mean you can do something. Just because you think that you can establish a protocol for what will keep your body going doesn't mean that is actually what will keep your body going. And I paid the price dearly for that over the first 4 to 5 days of the Camino. It's only really in the last 2 days that I have recovered a sense of like not feeling sick through the day, and being able to like wake up and say, okay, I'm ready to walk. My feet hurt, but it's a very different thing. It's a very different thing. So respect the limits of your body, brothers and sisters. Learn to pay attention to what your body is telling you regarding the limits of what you can undergo, what you can undertake. So, all right. When I shared this a couple months ago, when I was talking about this on the radio, preparing for the Camino, and I started taking 10-mile walks early in the morning, that I really looked down on the idea of walking. When I would see people walking on the side of the road, I had one of two ideas in mind. The first was that they were too old to be able to run anymore. And so they were doing what they could, since they could no longer run, now they're walking. Or the second thing was, well, they're not in good enough shape to actually jog or run. And so they're settling for walking. And so walking was sort of a default sign of failure, a default situation of diminishment. So I had a very denigrated the idea of walking very much. And it wasn't until I incorporated walking, and I only did it because of the Camino, back into my my daily life. And it was walking. It wasn't walking fast enough to get a exercising benefit from it. Like, oh, this is my workout, I'm walking. No, it wasn't that. I was walking as part of my preparation for the Camino, and in doing that, I started to experience just tremendous benefits. And I also learned a ton just about the way in which walking is just connected to our own lives. On the Camino, during some of my more challenging moments where I was really out of it, I did lean on a couple of audiobooks to help accompany me, to take my mind off of how I was actually feeling in my body, and to be able to help me to kind of push forward. And one of them was talking about the idea that our very structure, it's called Born to Run, and the very structure of our makeup as human beings, as men, as human beings, is that, you know, we stand upright and we're made to walk. We're made to take forward motion. This is how we're made. And that physical characteristic of our being, that we're made to move and not just flail around spontaneously, but to actually move in a fluid motion forward in order to move from point A to point B, in order to move forward in our lives. A good portion of our lives is connected to the idea of walking. Now, we live in a time where the value of walking as walking has diminished. I pointed that out in my own experience of it. But even just the day-to-day use of walking, like how many people walk to work? Well, if you're working from home, okay, but no, you drive your car, you take a bus, you don't walk to work. You don't really do much walking typically, unless you're in a super crowded city or you have a very particular situation. And I think there's a loss in that. There's a loss in the meaning and value that comes from using our bodies to walk. Well, I started to look at this from a scriptural perspective, and you know, lo and behold, just the act of walking, let's think about it. When does it first appear in the scriptures? Where does walking first appear? Well, it's in Genesis chapter 3, and it's when Adam and Eve have sinned, and they're in the garden. And then in the cool of the evening, God comes to walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. So the first actor who's doing walking in the scriptures is God. God is shown as someone who walks. And the act of walking is shown to be connected to the idea of, is shown to be an expression of communion, of connection, of communication. I'm walking with you. I'm connected to you. I'm with you. I'm moving forward on this journey with you. And that's the first appearance in the scriptures. Well, let's kind of move a little bit forward and say, well, what's the next appearance in the scriptures of walking? That where it talks about somebody who is walking. Well, it is associated with Enoch, one of the patriarchs in the first few chapters of Genesis, chapters, I think it's 4 and 5, all the way up until Noah, these patriarchs, you have Enoch, who is described as someone who walked with God during life. He's described as someone who walked with God, and it appears in the context that it meant that he was a righteous man, that he was in communion with God, and that being in communion with God is walking with God. And you probably know that he was the one who was seen no more, and instead of saying that he died, it said that he was seen no more and he walked with God. So that even the reality of heaven as this place of perfect communion with God is described in Genesis chapter 3 Genesis chapter 5 as walking, that Enoch walked with God. And it, it it's like, wow, you didn't really notice that before. Well, you can jump all the way ahead to 2 Kings, and you have the story of Elijah, this greatest of the anterior prophets, and his companion Elisha, who took on the mantle of Elijah. Well, what's the story of Elijah and the handing on the mantle, his prophetic, a symbol of his prophetic call and gifting? Well, they were, Elijah said, it's time for me to leave. I'm going to be going to God. And they were walking and talking together, walking and conversing together. And it's interesting because it shows that just before it says that Elisha won't leave Elijah. Well, Elijah ends up crossing the river, and he crosses the river by taking his mantle, striking the water, and the waters part, and they walk across the river. And so you have this idea of the Exodus, right? This idea of crossing over, crossing through, and it's after they cross through that they're still conversing and walking when all of a sudden Elijah is swept away by the chariots and the horses, and he was seen no more. He was taken away in his chariot to be with God. And so you have this, again, this powerful moment, one of these really, you know, key moments in the Old Testament of this key figure. And it's connected to this idea of walking, of walking, just the act of walking. But the act of walking has many meanings, and we'll talk about those meanings. You can walk as a pilgrim, as a penitent, and making acts of reparation. You can walk. Think about in the Mass, we have a walk that's a procession in. That's a walking, a processing in, and a recessing out. We have a walking that is a way of constructing the idea of the journey of life, jump. You know, and I'll talk about these other meanings of walking, this fundamental structure of life as a point of departure and a point of arrival, and that we're on this journey. And so that's also a sense of walking as well. Well, then you have the this idea of making this specific walk that I'm making here on this Camino, which is a way. So the Camino of Santiago de Compostela is a way. It's a way that someone walks. It's a journey that someone takes. It's filled with walking. And what I've found is that there are a number of people who are hiking. Right. So this is for people who are really like invested in making, getting outside and doing hikes. Well, this is sort of an epitome, just a wonderful goal for them to be able to say, I hike to the Camino, right? So it's a very high bar for them to pursue. For tourists, there are some, I haven't met that many. The people who are tourists on the Camino, there are beautiful views, but there is a lot of difficult walking. So, yeah, it wouldn't be my preferred path if I'm a tourist. So I'm not a tourist and I'm not a hiker when I'm doing this, but I am walking. And these different layers of meaning are showing up in walking. But as I've been reflecting, and what I'm reflecting with you right now in this particular day today is the way in which walking is built into our structure as a human being. That just our very body is made to walk, that to make forward movement. And that's, I think, connected to the structure of life itself. St. Augustine, in his experience of time, and he treats this in his Confessions, in his books 10 and 11, he's trying to describe what time is, and it's this movement from the past to the future through the present. It's this movement. So there's something that's like built into the core of our being that is this movement. And so, there's that other meaning of pilgrimage, that other meaning of that journey that in our own spiritual tradition, in our Catholic tradition, is the journey within. You go within yourself to be able to understand how to go and encounter God. How do you get to the deeper encounter with God? And that is definitely connected to this idea of walking and of a journey. So you just think about life, right? How many times growing up, my mom said, get off the couch, get outside, do something. The people who are not walking, who are just sort of stuck inside, are the ones who are feeling down, feeling weighed down, feeling depressed. And when you stop moving, you get stuck.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm continuing to share with you the first week of my journey on the Camino, and I'm excited to do that, but not excited to talk about what I'm reflecting on, which is my third day. In my third day, I learned humility. Right? My first day, I learned I was my own worst enemy. Second day, I learned you have to respect your body. You can't just push your body beyond the limits. And you've also got to be wise and prudent and practical and taking care to be prepared for what's going to be happening over the course of the day. So whether it's food or drink or breaks or, you know, just proper planning. Okay. So humility is today's theme, because by the end of today, my both feet are killing me. And when I arrived in Obanos, the man who was, you know, who welcomed me, he looked concerned. He got me some aqua minerale con gas, a nice cold glass of mineral water with gas. That's how bad I looked. I came in there. But also I came in there with a big, fat, bruised or darkened ankle, which I had dislocated. Okay, there's a story to be told there. On my right, that's my right foot. And my left foot, a big fat blister. Yes. So, and I had walked about 24 miles that day. Yeah, this remember this lesson I'm talking about, learning to respect your body and learning to not overdo it and pay attention to what's showing up. It hadn't yet fully struck home. So, through the mystery of God's providence and the way things unfolded in my day, I was going to learn that lesson. And so the way specifically that was going to happen, you might notice the two towns aren't typical towns that people would walk to. Larosana is a few miles past Zubiri, which is the natural endpoint after Roncesvalles. I continued on for about another 3.5 miles to this particular town. And I did it really because of the access I had to a private room and a bathroom, a private bathroom. That's my standard. And thank God I had that so far. Maybe later on when I'm healthier and stronger and in the flow, then I'll also experiment with doing a dormitory experience. But I have, in my first week, I've been so exhausted when I reach my endpoint that I just get to my room and I crash. And I kind of said that to you. I just can't imagine doing that in a dorm setting. Anywho, so what happens on this day three is I look at the length of the stage. I had gone 3.5 miles beyond the end of the stage. And this stage was going to be a really short one. It was going to end in Pamplona. And I'm like, you know what? The next stage after it is not too bad to Puerto La Reina. Maybe I can just find a place just before that. And Albanos is just before that. And I'll do two stages at once. I'll get through two stages in one day. And then I'll get a rest day. I'll be ahead a day. And that was one of my concerns was I don't have any rest days built in. How am I going to rest? And now that I realized already, right, I was so drained by how I was doing the Camino and so wiped out. I wasn't interacting with folks other than just on the trail for the windows of time when I was be with them. But other than that, I was like a little monk. I go to mass when I went, but I just was like, get me back to bed and rest my feet and my ankles and my knees and my calves, blah, blah, blah. So what happens? I wake up at 3:30 in the morning again, not because of coffee. I just woke up and I thought, you know what? This is it. Let me do this. Let's go for this. Let me get out the door early, super early. And I'll be able to get through two stages in one day. And I'll be able to do a victory lap and just take a rest and just put my feet up. So 5 in the morning. Yeah, it's pitch dark at 5 in the morning. Now, I've been getting up at 3. So I'm like, I'm not, you know, thrown off by that. But my 3 in the morning trips are on paved, flat, more or less straight, you know, slow, easy curves. Yeah, not what I was walking through at 5 in the morning through the woods and rocky, uneven, rocky paths. So 5 in the morning, I'm out the door and I am walking from La Rosana. And I end up putting on some praise and worship music to just accompany me. And I had to use my iPhone as a flashlight to give myself light for my path. And I prayed. So I want you to hold on to this. I prayed prayers of protection over me, specifically my guardian angel, my family guardian angel. My patron saints would pray prayers of blessing and protection over me, over my body, over injuries, accidents, over harm and danger. And half an hour in, I'm gonna use the word sprain my ankle, but that's because that's what you think of when you think of spraining an ankle. My ankle doesn't sprain, my right ankle. I have such a bad ankle that the tendons or the ligaments or the muscles, whatever it is that keeps the ankle like tight, is all stretched on that side. And so on my right side, so what is this? It just pops. Pops out. And when it pops out, it's like someone takes a knife and just jams it right into my ankle. And the crazy thing is it'll just pop out for like no good reason, right? They're just walking along. It just pops out. And I had told the story on my radio program back in 2016. I had this wonderful man with an incredible healing gift. Had a word of knowledge and prayed for the healing of my ankle. And since 2016 until 4 days ago, it would typically come out at least once a month. It would dislocate, and it hadn't for years. And one time it was my own dumb fault. I stepped backwards on something and it rolled for that reason. And only one time had it rolled in a time that was like, whoa, how did that happen in all those years? So I really was grateful to God for a true healing in this ankle. And honestly, it was one of my biggest thing that would hold me back from doing the Camino was my ankle couldn't take it. But with 6 years of healing in the rearview mirror and all of the walking I was doing, I was like, my ankle isn't even my number one concern. It's my calf muscle that I had done a lot of, you know, had severe pull on it and blah, blah, blah. So I was much more concerned about my right calf muscle than I was about my ankle. Until 5:30 in the morning, in the middle of the woods on a rocky path, when I step and it pops, and I move forward and step and it popped again, which it never happened. It's like two times, there we go. And I fell to the ground and I just let this scream out. And I was just like, no, no, God, no, no. This is day three. Come on. What are you doing, God? Right? Like, what are you allowing, God, that this has happened? And I popped up, and because this isn't a typical sprain, my ankle doesn't swell in the same way as other ankles. It does over time, but if I get up and I move quickly, it doesn't freeze up so quickly. So I immediately just jumped up and kept moving. I just kept going. And it hurt, every step hurt. But I wasn't like radically limping. I just was moving. And it didn't take me that long, which is a bit of a surprise to me. It didn't take me that long to realize that, hey, wait a minute, I prayed for the Lord's protection over my ankle. And right now I was facing the question, God, why hadn't you protected me from this? And then all of a sudden, it was just like this download of insight. Hey, wait a minute. You do realize it could have been a lot worse. Like when it popped, the situation you were in, how many times were I would like walking across like rocky bridges and down rocky, slippery hills and jagged areas and dangerous areas. It could have happened in any one of those places in the last 2.5 days, and it didn't. And also, it could have happened in a public setting where I would have been around other people, and that would have been, and it would have been embarrassing, but I think it would have been, I would have preferred it to be alone the way it happened. And so I was like, wow, God, you actually... Well, the way I'm looking at this, on the one hand, number one, you heard my prayer, so you weren't caught off guard. Number two, there's something else going on here. And it's everything from, I was protecting you from a worse thing. The timing was my timing for you, not yours. And this happens in a way that's going to glorify me if you let it. And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, well, you know what? I did say this is a journey, a camino of penance and reparation. And is penance and reparation just me not eating so much? Or, you know, oh no, I won't have a glass of wine. Or no. Now, how about every step has a lot of pain to it? Huh? How about that? What you really want your camino to be fruitful spiritually, then be open to receive a camino that has some meaningful pain connected to it many steps of the way. And so so I continued on, and sure enough, I got to Pamplona by about 9 in the morning. And you know, the wise, prudent man that I am, I thought, okay, this is perfect. It's almost like I've already started a rest day. Let me just rest here and let me just take it easy the rest of the day. And no, that didn't happen. No, that didn't happen. It was like, no one's going to let me check in right now. I'm not going to be stuck. I'm pushing forward. Let me find a pharmacy and get an ankle brace. And the mercy of God, oh my goodness, the mercy of God. On the path out of town, on the path out of Pamplona, there was a pharmacy, and I went in, and he had a couple of like compression socks for ankles, but I'm like, no, I need a plastic cast type device. And he's like, I don't have it. And then he said, and he paused for a minute, and then he said, come over here. And he looked out the window and he pointed across the street down one block. There was an orthopedic medical supply store. Are you kidding me? An orthopedic medical supply store. He's like, go there. And I'm like, thank you. So I went there, went in, and I told him what I wanted, top shelf. There was one there, and popped it on, and I started walking. And I kept going. And here's the thing. It was, I had already gone, I don't know, 7 or 8 miles, and I had another 15 miles to go this day. And it was 10:30, and I'm like, I got this. It's early enough. I can push forward. I can do this. But it was so hot and humid, and I totally underestimated just, again, my ankle, my tiredness, my body still recovering. But I just had this lack of humility around what I was able to do. And so I just pushed forward. I pushed forward. And I had to take a lot of breaks. And the interesting thing. One of the things that happened in the midst of it all was that, like, I passed by, I don't know, maybe the most visible sign of, like, this big kind of dark metal structure of the pilgrims. And when I finally made it up the hill, the top of the hill where that structure was, I barely looked at it. I had no energy to take it in, connect to it, like, just be there. People were there for, you know, a half an hour, you know, taking their time, just being with this structure. I barely scrambled up to the top, saw it, drank something, ate something really quick, a piece of fruit, and then I just had to keep going and push forward. And made it to the end of the day. I mentioned to this hotel, I keep calling them hotels, they're little pensiones with a private room and a private bath is what it is. Nothing fancy at all. Like, I'm in a room here, it's just like a box of a room. It's got a bed and it's got a little bathroom, that's it. So nothing but too comfortable, but compared to the dormitories, yeah, I'm in luxury. So that was the third day. It was the humility. And then when I got there, I was like, why is my left foot hurting so badly? And that's when I made it up to my room, took my shoe off, and realized I've got a huge blister on that foot too. So I had a huge blister on one foot. And I finally took off my shoe and my ankle brace. My ankle was all swollen, and I just crashed for hours, right through dinner, just crashed, tired, exhausted. And I said, can I just stay here another day? Like, I need help. Can I just stay here another day? Can I use this place as my day off? And they said, no, there's no room at the inn. We're all booked. So I needed to walk a mile the next day. I'm going to tell you about that, because something very powerful happened on that journey of 1 mile, which put me back on track. So in terms of actual distances, I'm on track today as I speak to you. I'm not ahead, I'm not behind, based on the 34 stage journey that I'm following. But I learned a lot of humility on that day 3 walk. And I also learned that there's a lot of trusting in God, right? A lot of trust in the Lord for the path that he has you on. I want to finish this by talking a bit about the reflection on walking that I started yesterday on day 2. I'm going to keep building on that, because the meaning of being a pilgrim, taking a pilgrimage, starts with the word walking. A pilgrim, among many other things, is someone who is walking and walking somewhere. And I was drawing out some reflections on that based on a woman I met that I mentioned yesterday. And it's kind of like a shark, right? Like a shark has to keep swimming, or so that the water will go through its lung, its gills, and it'll get air and continue to live. If it stops moving, it's going to die. That's a little too dramatic for us as human beings, but you know, what do you call someone who just sits around on the couch all day? A couch potato, right? What would my mom say to us when we got home from school if we were just lounging around on the couch watching TV, eating Twinkies? Get off the couch, get outside, get moving, do something, do your homework, do some, move. We're made to move. We're made to move somewhere, to move in a direction, right? Again, our physical body, our natural stance is not lying down or sitting down. It's even not even just standing. When you think of it's standing, but there's a kind of a forward movement towards even the human stance, our natural position. And so when we think about this idea of being a pilgrim on the Camino, it does sit within a more fundamental structure that we have as human beings, as people who are on the way, people who are on the way. How many times have I shared that on my radio program through the years? St. Thomas Aquinas describes us as human beings as homo viator, as someone who is on the way, homo viator, someone who's way, viator, moving towards, right? So someone who's on the way. You even when you sit still, even when you curl up in a ball, even when you're sleeping, you're still on the way. And of course, we see that in the natural progression of the stages of life. We go from birth and then all these different stages till adulthood and old age, and then to death. There's that journey from infancy through, you know, youth, adulthood, old age, and then death. So there's that arc of the journey. There's the path that we're on. So just being a human being, do nothing, you still have a structure in you that is on a journey. Now Aquinas attempts to dig into this more fully, and we can draw scripture and scriptural meaning to it as well. And this has a tremendous amount to do with how the idea of making a Camino can help us to recover the sense of life has this journey aspect to it. And that is, Aquinas says that someone who's on the way has departed from somewhere. So there's a point of departure for someone who's on the way. And then there's the point of where they're actually at. And then there's the point that they're headed towards. That's their point of arrival. And so you can easily hold on to those three concepts, a train. Where you're leaving from, where are you at, where are you headed, a plane, where is you departing from, where are you in flight, where are you landing, right? And the same is true with regards to our lives. So we've been launched into life from our, you know, from our parents. Oh, but wait a minute, is there something deeper, bigger going on there? Is there some deeper meaning or purpose or giver of purpose and meaning who launched us into existence? Yeah, God. And so discovering that there's this thrown-ness quality to life, there's this movement quality to life that is part and parcel of being human is something that we shouldn't forget, right? And it's even built into, right? It's built into like video games, right? One of the, I think probably the most popular genre of video game is first person shooter games. First person shooter. So you get the, you know, you're the person with the gun, right? So Fortnite, first person shooter game. And you get launched, you land in a spot, and then you're on a mission. You're trying to get somewhere. You're trying to eliminate the enemies, but you might have teammates, and then you're trying to win, right? So so even video games, you know, that are taking advantage of this aspect, this fundamental way that we live as human beings, that we have this sense of a journey, a sense of being called forward to accomplish a mission. One of the things that I want to reiterate this, because that meaning of that, the sense of my journey has a meaning, is not always visible on the Camino itself. Because a lot of times on the Camino, I'm walking on a path and I just barely see a little section of it. And there are times when I can see like a real big distance, especially now the stages we're moving into, I can see ahead 10, 15 miles. At least that's how far it looks to me. I mean, it's miles and miles out there. And when I see the town out there, and then I see this little thin path coming back to us, let's just say that's not always encouraging, because it's hard to imagine, like, okay, how many steps do I have to, I can't just jump from here to there. I could get a taxi. I can't just jump from here to there. I've got to walk one step at a time. Every single step has a meaning. And I think that's something that, I don't know if the people who come on the Camino, I don't know where they picked this idea up, but I think I heard it said yesterday, a guy said it in passing. I think he might be a priest. I'm going to find out. He carries himself like a priest. I heard there's a priest on the Camino walking in the same days as me, but I haven't met him yet. Or if I met him, he didn't show his priest card. I said to him, yeah, I said, you know, I was saying something like, you know, life is the pace of walking or something like that. Life is, enjoy the journey. He said, there's a journey in every step. There's a journey in every step. And again, I love that. That reverses the more standard idea that, well, you know, the journey involves 1,000 steps, so get going. And so the steps don't seem to be that meaningful. If it's 1,000,000 steps from here to Santiago, well, what's the difference between step 1,527 and step 279,552, right? What's the difference? But if there's a journey in every step, then every step has this capacity, this opportunity, this moment to be able to be a place of encounter, to be a place of finding meaning, of expressing a sense of mission. I think that that's really important. When you folks who are watching or listening to this are having days like I described on my day 3, humbling days, trying really hard, wanting to succeed, wanting to go further, wanting to do better, but still languishing or being held back by what has been or what is, and then stumbling unexpectedly, stumbling surprisingly, stumbling in a humbling fashion. That just throws you back. That's hard. It's really hard to be there. And so my first word of encouragement is, you're not alone. My second word is, God was not caught off guard. My third is to encourage you to be open, to bring your situation to God, and to ask for guidance and support so that you can, in fact, live well in the midst of very humbling times. Yeah, humbling times are not easy to live well in the middle of. But God will give you the grace you need to be able to do what he's asking you to do. So, the the scriptures are full of examples of the idea of a journey, right? So God calls Abraham. What does he call Abraham to do? Get up and leave, right? And so Abraham went as the Lord obeyed him, right? Take your wife and your servants and go to a place that I will show you, right? I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. I'll make of you a great nation. And so this entirety of the Lord breaking into Abraham's life and asking him to move forward is done in the context of launching out on a journey. And Moses, right? So here's Moses. He believes he has this call to, like, he sees the injustice and the suffering of his people, but he kills an Egyptian and has to flee. And for 40 years, he ends up getting married and he's tending sheep and then gets the call. He gets the call from God in the burning bush. And out of that encounter comes what? An invitation to make a journey. But not just to make a journey, to lead others on a journey, on an exodus, And when you hear that, it's like, okay, wait a minute now. I'm starting to pay attention here. I'm starting to see that these so many significant moments in the scriptures are marked by these great saints and leaders of God's people who are asked to make a journey and lead others on the journey. But what was the context that Jesus was born in? Joseph and Mary had to make a journey to Bethlehem for the census. They were on the journey when Jesus enters the world. And shortly after he's born, what do they have to do? They've got to make another journey. And this is a different journey. This is a flight into Egypt. This is a journey of rescue. This is a journey of seeking refuge. This is a journey of protection. And so you take this structure of, this is where I'm at, this is where I'm headed, and here's how far I am along the way. You're going to be able to realize that this overlay fits so many circumstances in our lives. And I want to give you one final point, just in the last few minutes here, that when you're on the journey like that, and you've started someplace, and you've made some progress, but you still have a ways to go. Just remember, when you measure that whole sense of the journey itself, and you say, well, look how far we've come versus look how far we have to go, what do we notice first? And I'm going to call it gift or gap. Do we notice the gift, right? Do we notice the gift, which is how far we've come? Or do we notice the gap, how far we have to go? And I'm using an app to track my progress every day that I walk. And so the trail that I'm walking is on all trails on that app. And so I can very often see that the whole length of the trail. And then there's this little dot. There I am. I'm this far. Oh, here I am now this far. And here I am this far. And as the day is going on, I can see how much closer to the goal that I'm getting. And it'll also show me altitude, you know, how high I've gone and all this and how much more altitude there is to go. And it's a very interesting dynamic to stop and say, am I paying more attention to how far I've come and celebrating and taking courage from how far I've come, or by how much remains? And at the beginning, when so much remains, it can be a bit discouraging. Like, oh my goodness, look how far I have to go. Look how much distance there's still to cover. And one of the things I've taken to do is I tend to hold off looking at the whole line until I know I'm significantly past halfway. Because if I'm significantly past halfway and I look at it and I can see it visually in front of me, it's a real burst of encouragement. So I want to leave you with that thought in your own life, that as you're scanning a particular section of your life or a portion of your life or things happening in your life, be careful about looking first or primarily at how far the journey still remains, how much further you have to go. Because that can be very discouraging and can lead you to suck the life out of you. Instead of that sense of courage that says, I can do this. I'm going to do this. This is going to be awesome. And that's what I want for you. All right. God bless you. And keep tuning in. Keep paying attention. I'm going to bring you more reflections as I continue on my journey. All right. God bless.